Bill Riley's got you covered on all things sports. This is the Bill Riley Show from the Valley Collision Studio. Let's get back to Bill on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
Well, I certainly try to do my best each and every day here. Snow falling again here in downtown Salt Lake City as we head down the home stretch on a Monday show. If you missed anything from the show today, the podcast will drop in about an hour, hour and a half or so. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcast to the Bill Riley Show. You can get the full 3 hours. You can get just the interviews or just the Utah stuff. We give you options. It's always good to have options in life or in podcasting. So, yeah, find the Bill Riley Show wherever you get your podcast, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes, all that stuff. And you'll have all the stuff up there and available to you. Joining us every Monday on loan from KSL TV5, one of the hosts of Sports Beat on the weekends, is Sam Farnsworth. Sam, what's your bracket look like? Please tell me you had at least three of the four Final Four teams in your bracket.
I don't even know if I had three of the Elite Eight teams in my bracket. I mean, holy cow, it's not great. You know how, like, on – I think a lot of people do their brackets on ESPN.com. I don't know. That's where I've done it for years. And they'll put the little emoji next to your bracket. If you're hot, there's a flame emoji. If you're cold, there's an ice cube. Yeah, mine's had the ice cube next to it since like day three of this tournament. So, yeah, it's been not great, but it's been a lot of fun to watch.
I have zero Final Four teams. Texas was my last hope yesterday, and it looked like Texas was going to get in, and then they collapsed down the stretch, and Miami got in. UConn looks like the most dominant team out of all these teams. Boy, they made Gonzaga look like a JV team on Saturday night. That was unbelievable. And then you've got San Diego State and FAU, neither of which has ever been to a Final Four, neither of which plays in a quote-unquote power conference, but both look like they belong there.
It has been amazing, right? So it was the first time ever that not a single number one seed made it to the Elite Eight. I'm pretty sure this is only the second time ever that the Final Four doesn't include a one or two seed in the Final Four, right? You've got a 5, a 9, a 5, and a 4, and three of those teams had never been before. And so now you've got UConn, a team that's obviously they've won before. They've got a good basketball history, but the odds, I mean, shoot, they've been playing really good, like you just mentioned. So I think probably of these four, they're a pretty good favorite to get through it. But, I mean, shoot, to have three teams a crack at winning their first ever national title, I think what this tournament tells us, and we've kind of seen it trending this direction over the past few years, but what this tournament clearly tells us is that the disparity between teams 68 and 69 and, you know, whatever, all the way to number one, it's not as vast anymore. The talent gap is shortening. It's shrinking. There's no doubt about it. When you got 15s winning multiple years in a row and even advancing to the Sweet 16, when you've got another 16 beating a number one, you've got a 9 in the Final Four. You know, you've had, 2 years ago, UCLA was an 11 seed or something, or was that last? I can't remember. But, you know, you've got these double-seeded teams that are making farther runs than ever before. And I think it's just great for college basketball. Now, you know, the people who are diehard with, you know, the blue bloods of college basketball, they may not agree. But, man, it's been so much fun.
Well, I don't think the TV executives are really thrilled with this one either.
Right.
Because we're beyond the age now because of the one and done and also the transfer portal and things like that. We don't have as many household names. Actually, we were talking about this earlier, Josh Newman and I. The biggest household name in the Final Four this year will probably be Caitlin Clark on the women's side. But I don't know that there's a men's basketball player that really moved the needle, because they just don't stay long enough to do that anymore. So if you can't get the player, you at least I like to have a, you know, kind of a Duke or a Kansas or a Kentucky or a Carolina. You don't have any of that. Now, I don't think this what we have this year, Sam's the norm, but I think we'll have it more often than we've had it in the past. Like maybe every 3 or 4 years we'll have something like mm-hmm. we have right now.
Yeah, I would be shocked if it is the norm. However, yeah, I agree. It's going to happen more frequently. There will be teams, which just makes it that much more difficult when it comes down to us picking our brackets, right? There's not that many. When you talk about household names, maybe there aren't many. The one name that sticks out to me, Isaiah Wong on Miami. And the reason why his name sticks out to me is, you know, he's played a critical role in them getting to the Final Four. And this is a guy that after last season, when they came up short in the Elite Eight, his agent, and it's funny to say that there are college kids with agents nowadays, right? But his agent mentioned something about, you know, if the money's not right from an NIL, he and his family will be looking elsewhere in the portal. Miami stepped up. And like, you know, you said it, the NIL has changed the way college basketball is. And maybe the government reins that in or sets some boundaries on how it is used going forward. But for now, what the NIL does, it allows pretty much any team in the country and to get themselves a great basketball player that can help lead their team into the NCAA tournament and beyond. And that's different from college football, right? College football, you really rely on 22 players to win every week. In college basketball, if you have a star and a bunch of good role players around that star, you've got a chance. And, you know, Miami's more than just Isaiah Wong, but I just think of that story and think of how NIL has changed college basketball. That's a prime example of a team that's now in the Final Four.
Well, his backcourt mate got $400,000 a year for 2 years. He was a star player at Kansas State under the old regime when Bruce Weber was there. Nigel Pack basically signed a 2-year, $800,000 deal to go to Miami. That's what it was.
And you've got so I'm just looking at these four teams, right? San Diego State, FAU, Miami, UConn. Three of those. You got two teams in Florida, one on South Beach, one in beautiful San Diego. How, if you've got the money, how do you not convince a great player to come and play for that program? I don't know. I mean, if I'm a high school kid and someone flies me out to any of those areas and I see the beach and I feel the warm air and think, man, this could be a fun place to live for a while, and then you get some money on top of that to play. I don't know. I just feel like those programs should be programs on the rise, and maybe they are. Maybe this is the beginning for some of these programs to be great, but shoot, it sure seems like they should be destinations for kids out of high school.
Well, I'll say this too, not that I think they needed it, but I think this Final Four run doesn't do anything but enhance San Diego State's chances to be a Pac-12 member if that deal hasn't been sealed already.
Oh yeah, for sure. And you know, I've been following. I've got a lot of friends that work within the Mountain West Conference as well, having lived in Colorado for as long as I did, and seeing how excited they are to have a Mountain West team get this far for the first time in conference history. I've wondered, and I haven't directly asked them yet, but I've wondered also if in the back of their minds, there's the uh-oh, this is only helping San Diego State's cause to move out of our conference and move on. Because it would be a blow. It would be a blow to the Mountain West Conference to lose San Diego State as a program. But you're right, Bill. Playing into the Final Four is only strengthening their cause to bring more value to a Power 5 conference.
I asked this earlier. I don't think it's a big deal to me, but what if the Pac-12 decided it only wanted to bring San Diego State? Maybe they decide that SMU doesn't add enough value. There aren't enough other schools right now. Would you have a problem with them just adding one school?
No, I don't think so. I think the number of teams in a conference anymore, I don't know that it matters. You don't have to have an even amount. Let's say they have 11 teams. You play, I don't know, you can still play the nine team in-league schedule and put some kind of rotation together, allowing the teams to play three out-of-conference games still. In the year, I see no problem with it. If it's an odd number, they got to do what's going to make the most sense for the conference. And if adding a team just to add a team doesn't make sense, then don't do it. If that's SMU, if adding SMU just to make it a round number, don't do it if it's not the right fit.
It's based on value and the value that you also bring to the conference. And, you know, The analogy I've used for years, and a lot of other people use it too, is it's the pie. And your revenue share, every school gets a slice of the pie. Well, you want your slice of pie to be, you know, pretty good size. You don't want it to be one of those little skinny pieces. Well, if you add 12 instead of 11, you know, how much does that impact the slice of your pie? Because SMU is going to get their cut, And does their value bring back enough to make the cut small or big or what it is? I know San Diego State will bring value because the market size, Southern California, good football and basketball, sometimes very good. But I'm just not sure who else brings it. So if you only go to 11 for now, there's nothing that says you can't add later, but why divvy up that pie even more if you don't have to?
No, 100%. And, you know, I'm sure that's something that's being discussed frequently with all the negotiations that are happening amongst the existing teams in the PAC conference because, yeah, they want money. They deserve to get their share of pay that's coming their way. And if it does mean slicing off a little more to someone that doesn't bring the value back in, then don't do it. You know, I know SMU, I've seen their fans on social media talking about how, oh, the Dallas market is so big for the Pac-12. They need it. It's like, let's be honest. How many people in the Dallas market are tuning in for SMU? You know, there's the University of Texas. There's, you know, how many other teams in that market trump what SMU does? It's kind of like the same. I have the same feelings about when people bring up Colorado State as being, oh, they're getting the Denver market. I'm like, no, you're not, though. You really aren't, because the Denver market doesn't care that much about Colorado State. And so I get when they make that argument, but at the same time, when it comes down to the dollars and cents, SMU's return, I just don't see it being that great. San Diego State, on the other hand, they're the only show in town in their market, and it's a desirable market, too. So they would own all of Southern California for the Pac-12 conference too. So it just, that seems like it makes a lot more sense than SMU.
What do you got coming up tonight on Sports Beat?
Utah Jazz back on home. They're going to head out after this for a little bit, but yeah, with the Phoenix Suns in town, it'll be interesting to see which direction, you know, they're on that losing streak. Do they continue down that slide? I'm at the point now where I'm just enjoying the development of these young players though. Walker Kessler, Ochai Agbaji, seeing what these guys can do. So, yeah, we'll be all over that game tonight.
So that's coming up tonight with Sam and JJ on Sports Beat on KSL TV 5. Thank you, my man. Talk to you soon.